Let's take a listen back to the week that was in politics.
Labor turns to the coalition, sealing deals on major changes to the NDIS and gambling.
This new legislation is the most significant gambling advertising reform by any Australian government ever.
They know they have to be seen to be doing something, but what they've got is virtually useless.
This legislation, this bill represents the end of the NDIS.
I am concerned about a number of people being taken off the system, and they're going to turn to state government, so we won't have the resources we need.
This is not a buyback, it's a stitch-up.
We feel this is necessary for our state today.
After repeated refusals, the minister finally agreed to meet with veterans over his cruel cap on their care.
And I acknowledge that I got it wrong.
We are already suffering enough. Drop the bloody cap. Drop it, mate.
Superannuation should be lightened up a bit so people can utilise this money in times of crisis. It is their money.
Well, there are already very well considered and long established mechanisms for people in genuine hardship to access their super early.
We have an Australian humanitarian worker who was killed. This is a difficult time in the relationship.
Some of the sounds of the political week are finishing with the Foreign Affairs Minister, Senator Penny Wong there. Well, to get some analysis, I'm joined by our Friday political panel. This morning in the studio, Katina Curtis is the Senior Political Correspondent at Capital Brief. Katina, welcome back. Good to have you in the studio. Michelle Grattan is the Chief Political Correspondent at The Conversation and Professorial Fellow at the University of Canberra. Michelle, it's always so good to have you here. Thank you very much. And also our very own political correspondent, to Stephanie Boris.
Steph, good morning, Sally.
Welcome back.
Again.
we're just hearing a short time ago, Michelle, from the Israeli ambassador to Australia, Dr. Hillel Newman. This is off the back of the military advocate general's finding in Israel regarding the military strike on the humanitarian convoy by the World Central Kitchen Group, which included Australian aid worker Zomi Frankham. Zomi and a number of her colleagues were killed in that strike. How have you judged the response from the federal government here in Australia, Michelle?
The government's response has been very strong, saying that what Israel has decided, in other words, not to investigate further, is totally unsatisfactory and that it will pursue the matter. And we heard the Prime Minister reiterate this firmly on 7:30 last night. I think it's quite interesting, just listening to the ambassador, it seemed to me that his tone was rather different from yesterday when he didn't seem to be giving any ground at all. Now Israel does seem to be looking to diffuse this issue, to see a way through it. I thought it was particularly notable that he suggested that Mark Binskin, who did the initial inquiry on behalf of the Australian government liaised with Israel, might go back. The invitation is there. It does, I think, seem a very logical next step for the Australian government to say, yes, we will take that up and we will therefore see whether more action can be taken, because obviously Mark Binskin is well across the case and can pick it up from where he left off, as it were.
Katina Curtis, this is as strong a language as we've heard, particularly from Penny Wong on this issue. It was interesting also hearing the timing, the ambassador saying that he was well aware that it was World Humanitarian Day. They were releasing posts on social media from what he was saying. The timing seems to have exacerbated the reaction from Australia to what's taken place in terms of the Israeli military and government.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've heard, got a sense of real anger from the government over this, which doesn't happen that often with them. So fairly extraordinary, as you say, that timing, and particularly the fact that Penny Wong was launching an award in Zomi Frankham's name, or a scholarship, and had been with her family, and then saying that, you know, Israel sort of let them know at about the same time as they released the information publicly. So so that there wasn't a chance to tell the family, you know, of this development in it. And I think, yes, it certainly all seems to have piled up. First, this decision, but also the timing and the sort of lack of notice, really.
Stephanie Boris, yesterday a lot of the conversation was about whether the Israeli ambassador to Australia, Dr. Hillel Newman, should be sent home, whether he's trying to keep himself in the country. But Dr. Hillel Newman, as Michelle was saying, was talking more about legal avenues, trying to keep the door open on a few more options. It did feel different today from yesterday, even though the underlying situation has not changed.
Yeah, the key word there, options, and that's what we've heard from that interview you just did then, Sally, talking there about the legal aspects, the willingness to share information between Israel and Australia. The extent of that, though, still seems limited given the drone audio that you asked him about there. He was saying that he's spoken to the president about it, but it's due to intelligence that's why it's not being shared. I think a lot of people wouldn't agree with that. And the reparations, that he mentioned that as well too, that they would need a specific request from Australia or other countries representing families as to what would take place. So today, yes, a different tone, a few different suggestions put forward to what we heard yesterday. And just really, I think we need to mark, as Katina was saying too, you don't usually hear the Australian government go so hard against another country when it comes to diplomacy. And that word outrage was used by, you know, Penny Wong was used by Anthony Albanese, criticising them on accountability. You don't usually hear that from a government when talking about, you know, a country that we usually do get along with.
We've only got a couple of minutes up our sleeve. Michelle, I wanted to ask you, we've had a busy couple of weeks of deal making here in Canberra on issues like NDIS, gambling and others. Last night we also heard from the Prime Minister being asked about his decision to go on the podcast, where he got in trouble on a couple of fronts. How have you judged the past couple of weeks for the Prime Minister and his government as Pollies have now headed off back home for a bit?
Clearly, last week the podcast dominated and it raised the question again of why the Prime Minister didn't just say, I made a mistake at the start, I draw a line
why
under
didn't
this.
Why do you think?
Oh, stubborn. Basically, he doesn't apologise much. He did apologise over the Kylie Minogue aspect, but
in a statement,
he digs in. But overall, the fortnight has been good for the Prime Minister because he's got key legislation through on gambling, NDIS. These are major pieces of legislation, so I think he'd be pretty happy at the end of it because of that.
Katina, we've had a few curveballs thrown in by One Nation over the past week. It's the government's pushed back on things like superannuation and so on. It has set up an interesting dynamic between the Coalition and One Nation. The Coalition saying in its formal sense that it doesn't want to be caught up in thought bubbles. Mm. It wants to develop considered policy. But that means that One Nation can raise issues, jump ahead, not with a lot of detail. What's been the political consequences of that in the past week or so?
That's right. There's definitely people within the Coalition, you know, cautioning their colleagues to stay calm in the face of all this sort of froth and noise from One Nation and trying to point out, you know, that by the time they get to the election, they really do need some product differentiation with One Nation, and they need to prove themselves, prove that the Coalition is still a party of government and show that to voters, show that they have that offering. So I think there's some who are jumping at the polls, jumping at the policy ideas, but there's others who so far seem to mostly be winning the argument, saying, stay calm, we got this, we just got to stick with it.
There is a danger, though, that at the moment it's One Nation leading the conversation, the national conversation about what should or shouldn't change in different policies. So the Coalition too, you know, they do have to get out there with policies sooner than later, and that was a criticism under former Liberal leader Susan Lee as well too.
They have their plan, didn't you see? They're waving.
Where are the details though, Katina? We need the details.
It's a very graphic-heavy plan, that's what I would say.
It sure is. Well, big thank you to the political panel this morning. Katina Curtis, Senior Political Correspondent at Capital Brief. Good to have you back. Michelle Grattan, thanks, as always, Chief Political Correspondent at The Conversation and Professorial Fellow at the University of Canberra. Michelle, thank you for coming in this morning as well.
Thank you, Sally.
And Stephanie Boris, thank you for your coverage throughout the morning.
Thank you so much.